Thank you, Jesus, that you are our everything. I pray that our hearts will be stilled before you today as we open your word. Help us to know you better and to continually dedicate ourselves to who you are and all you've done. And thank you, Jesus, that you do change us and renew us and give us peace and joy. Amen. Today's passage, Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 17, that's on page 1545 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus loved him. There's this gentleman that comes up to Jesus and wants to know, what can I do to be saved? And he's thinking that somehow it's within his own power, his own abilities to get himself into the kingdom to bring salvation. We talked last week about how we need to enter the kingdom as little children, that God wants us to be simply willing to lean on him and to know that there's nothing we bring. Like little kids don't bring anything really to the family to make the family better other than just their presence. We don't have anything to offer God allow us to enter his family into the kingdom, and yet he still invites us in. So let's start looking at the passage. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" There's that whole concept, what should I do? How can I earn my salvation? How can I get where I need to get? I know I want eternal life. I've heard about this eternal life thing. What can I do? And he runs up to Jesus. Obviously, he's heard about him. If we look at the Luke and the Matthew passage, we get learn a little bit more about this man. He's a young man, and he's also somewhat royalty. I mean, he's a ruler. He's connected. He's got all kinds of things going for him. He's also very wealthy. We learn that from all three passages. So, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I think that oftentimes, you know, we approach God and it's like, okay, look, we're going to privilege you with our presence. We're willing to accept you, God. And aren't you lucky? And it's kind of, it seems like this gentleman's approaching this way. Jesus kind of answers him differently than I would have expected. It's oftentimes he doesn't give a direct answer to these direct questions. He turns it aside. Why do you call me good? That's an interesting remark, isn't it? And then he points out no one is good except God alone. So he's kind of pointing out to this guy that came down, bowed before him, and asked him this question, good teacher, it's like, have you really thought about your words? Oftentimes we don't think about our words, do we? People use the word amazing when they're talking about pizza or other weird things that really aren't amazing. God's amazing. And we use hyperbole oftentimes for things that don't deserve it. The very best and the most and the greatest and all of these things, and Jesus is just again pointing out, okay, do you even know who you're coming to approach? Who are you talking to? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. He did happen to be talking to God, so it wasn't like he didn't say, no, I'm not good. But he's trying to point out the differences. And then he brings this ruler, this teacher, this young man that seemed to know so much about everything that he needed to do. You know the law. You know the commandments. And he lists a few of them. It's interesting, the ones he lists are more to do with neighbor-to-neighbor kind of ones. He doesn't go right to the first one about love the Lord your God. But he says, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. Most of us think that we can raise our hand and say, yeah, we follow that one. Except when Jesus starts talking about the heart, ooh, there may be some times where I had ill will in my heart towards someone, and Jesus says, yeah, that's the same as murder. Okay, so you know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. It's a pretty good list. I think most of us could look at that and on the outside say, yeah, we're pretty good. Maybe there's a couple little shady areas there, but we're not too bad here. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. So he's feeling pretty good about this right now. So Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's the part I really appreciate. Jesus knows his heart and he loves him anyway. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And Jesus looks at all of us and he loves us. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. This is not a commandment, by the way, that everybody has to sell everything that they have and give to the poor. Not a bad thing to do. If God lays that on your heart, do it. But it is a real comparison here. Do you want to follow Jesus, or do you want to have all your possessions control you? We don't have to be a slave to the world around us, and yet oftentimes we enslave ourselves with our possessions, with our position, with whatever we think it is that makes us special, and the outward appearance. It's like, okay, this guy's got everything going for him. And this is really a tough message that Jesus gives him. It's like, you sell everything, give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. It's not that big a deal. You're not really giving anything away, because whatever you do for others, it's going to be rewarded. And then come and follow me. You have a choice, young man. Follow your stuff or follow me. That's the one thing you lack. You haven't made that decision. This young man totally understood what Jesus was saying. At this, the man's face fell. How many of us have been there? Things are going along pretty good and then something happens. It's like, oh, not that. His face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He made his choice. Jesus loved him. Jesus gave him the option to follow. He's like, I really would like you to be in my family. Come and follow me. But you're going to have to get rid of some of this baggage in your life first. It's a choice. Yeah, the one thing, you know, if you want to know what you can do to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus. Follow Jesus. Trust Jesus. The other things, that's not what's going to get you into heaven. All these other works that you've done, these commandments that you've kept, that's not going to get you into heaven. The commandments were never there to bring salvation. The commandments are there to show us as a mirror what we can't attain, what we cannot have. His face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." You could probably say that about some bankers and some other people right now that are trying to choose between, do they really like their big bonuses and their wealth, or do they want to do the right thing for their customers? You know, it's like, how much risk are we willing to take with other people's resources? As long as we don't risk our own, right? This... Who do we put first? Are we serving ourselves or are we serving God? Do we love God or do we love ourselves so much that possessions are going to come between us and God? How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. Now, you realize some of the disciples were really pretty well off. I mean, they were business owners. They had, you know, fishing businesses, and you know, then you got the tax collector guy. There's people that were relatively wealthy that were followers of Jesus. they had something to fall back on. They had family. They had connections. But they're amazed when he's saying something like, well, you know, it's going to be really hard for the rich to enter the kingdom. Jesus said again, children, he keeps bringing it back. You know, it's like if you're going to enter the kingdom, you got to enter like a child. And he says to his disciples, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or whatever, you know, your circumstances. Entering the kingdom of God isn't something that humans can do. And he points out, you know, he kind of throws this thing that's kind of a funny picture in a way, isn't it? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. A lot of us have a tough time getting a piece of thread through the eye of a needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Well, that sounds crazy impossible, doesn't it? But you realize that right now this is the Creator speaking, and the Creator understands the makeup of humans and whatever else, and it's like, you know, if we're made up of little atoms, it wouldn't be that tough for him to send us through the eye of a needle. Come out the other side and he can reconstruct us because he made us in the first place, and we might even come out better on the other side. So it wouldn't be that much of a big deal to him, but the disciples were even more amazed. First they're amazed that he says it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom, and now he's saying, yeah, pretty much, you know, put a camel through the eye of a needle. That's how hard it is. Try that. Can you do that? Most of us couldn't do that, right? I mean, maybe eventually if you just tore him down small enough, but it would not be a camel when it got to the other side. They were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? You realize these guys have been hanging out with Jesus for 2 or 3 years now, and they're confused about this message. This feels like new information to them. They're set back a little bit. It's like, whoa, this guy looks pretty good. I mean, he's following all the commandments. He's asking the right questions. How can I get into the kingdom? Who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. So this concept of, you know, rich man comes, it's like, okay, what do I need to do? Stop being rich. Stop trusting in your own possessions. Stop looking at your accomplishments as something that brings you independence and self-sufficiency when it comes to spiritual things. Whatever you've accomplished doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. What gets you into the kingdom of God is relationship with God. Set everything else aside and then follow me. And the disciples are amazed at this, and they're trying to weigh it out and work it out. And of course, here's Peter, and I love Peter because he's saying what a lot of us are thinking. It's like, okay, yeah, but we're not like that guy, are we? We've left everything to follow you. Look at us. We've got it figured out. Yeah, we did this. And Jesus doesn't rebuke him. This isn't like when he was taking Jesus aside and saying, no, you're wrong about this cross thing. You don't need to do that. It's like Peter, he's like, we've left everything to follow you. Jesus doesn't rebuke him or tell him that that's not true. But he does say, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. It's like you'll be rewarded. If you've really truly left all this to follow me, you'll be rewarded. To follow the gospel, you'll be rewarded in this age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. along with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. This concept of, you know, we've given up so much, Lord. It's like, well, not really. If you've left family and friends and home and all this, and it's to follow Jesus, you've become a part of a larger body. You've become part of a much larger family. You've got more brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in all of this right now surrounding you. He does throw in there, along with persecutions. This is in the Mark passage. It's not in Matthew or Luke. They didn't mention the persecution thing, but Jesus has mentioned a number of times to him that you follow me and the world's not going to like you. You're making a choice. You want to follow the world and be like the world, or you want to follow me? If you love the world and things in the world, that means you probably don't love me. The message is throughout Scripture. I mean, this young man that came running to Jesus and saying, what do I need to do? How can I accomplish salvation? That's a consistent message through all of Scripture. It's nothing that you do. It's who you are. You are a follower of Jesus, or you're a relier on your own self-sufficiency, your own material possessions. You trusting in the wrong things if you're not trusting in Jesus. All the stuff that we have, and everybody in this little congregation, I'm looking around, and nobody here is destitute. Everyone's got possessions. We've got stuff. We're wealthy. Are those things that we consider our own, and things that we truly somehow deserve even? Or are we stewards of things that God has placed in our possession to make the world a better place? God doesn't tell everybody. Jesus certainly didn't go around telling everybody, you have to sell everything and follow me. You know, this one gentleman, he did. He knew his heart. But he knows our hearts too. He knows the hearts of the disciples. When Peter says, hey, we've left everything for you, Jesus. Jesus knows, yeah, and you know, you really haven't sacrificed much, because you've got even more now, and along with the persecutions, that things, bad things are going to happen, but you get this whole eternal life thing in the age to come. When he tells the gentleman, sell everything and give to the poor, it's like, then you'll have treasures in heaven. You're investing in your future. You're investing into something that's eternal. If we think that we can hold on to everything as we go to the grave, and that's close to me at this time, as I know too many people that are passing this life, what are they taking with them? Absolutely nothing. Other than what they've invested into heaven. If they've given to others, that stays with them for eternity. My sister-in-law that passed a couple weeks ago, I know that she gave much. She was a giver. She cared. And her children are examples of who she was. They've been raised properly. They've been lifted up because she continually was sharing truth and sharing goodness and sharing kindness, and they turn out just like she was. And you kind of look at you know, these generational things, and in other people in their community that they helped and cared for, and even in their business. You know, when my brother and sister-in-law were in business, they were honest business people. They didn't try to do anyone harm. They tried to make sure that they were adding to the community that they were a part of. And that's investing in the kingdom. Caring for others is investing in the kingdom. When it says many who are first will be last and the last first, you think about this gentleman that came to Jesus. In the world's eyes, he had it going. Young, wealthy ruler, all kinds of good things. You know, he could rightfully say, yeah, I've kept the commandments. You know, on the outside, he's looking pretty good. We know a lot of righteous-looking people that don't know Jesus. And then there's people that don't look like they have much going for them. You know, we can go to the extremes like Mother Teresa, who really, you know, if somebody ever got rid of all their earthly possessions, that's an example. Jimmy Carter was somebody that gave to the end. Forget the politics. Doesn't matter one way or the other. What does matter is his heart was for people. He cared for people. And he was in his 80s and whatever, teaching Sunday school and telling people about Jesus. And then he's helping people build houses. And he's trying to find more and more ways to give of his resources for the kingdom. And I think as I look around here, I mean, you know, where were a lot of you on Thursday and Friday? And, you know, you're giving to the community. You're caring for the community. You're putting yourself out there and not putting yourself first. And Jesus is talking about this as he brings it down to, you know, first will be last and the last will be first. It's like, don't think about trying to lift yourself up here on earth. Humble yourself before the Lord and he'll lift you up. And he won't forget you. And he does say that whatever you've sacrificed here on earth is going to be more than compensated. It's a good investment to sacrifice. Looking back in John 3, we've talked about that passage a number of times, and it's a very familiar verse. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This young ruler that comes running to Jesus and falling at his feet. He's like, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He thought it was in his power, in his strength. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. And that's something that we're allowed to do too, and Jesus can share his love through us as we look at others and love them. It doesn't mean that they're all going to choose to follow Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that we can all come to the Father through you. Jesus, you are our everything. You are our all in all. We trust you wholly. We turn to you and we know that, God, the choices we make with our possessions, are we stewards or are we hoarders? Help us to know how to serve you with all that you've blessed us with our time, with our strength, with our minds, with our whole hearts, Lord. Keep growing us up in you. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.